You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we're discussing sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. Our guests are Dr. Desiree McCarthy Keith and Dr. Walter Falconer. You can join this conversation. We'd love to hear from you now. Your questions about sexual wellness and fertility after cancer right now, call us at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255, or join us on Twitter. Tweet your question, your concern, your experience with sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. On Twitter, we are at CCRTD. It's so important when we talk about cancer that, you know, we do come in for early detection. We need to not ignore symptoms. And Dr. Falconer, this is something at Georgia Urology that you focus on, the importance of screenings. Can you talk to us a little bit about really getting in there and not letting the fear take over, and really we don't come in when we need to?
Yeah, Paul, there's screening for every cancer we have, and there's some recommendations that the American Cancer Society has for all cancers. The one that I treat, and particularly prostate cancer, and the recommendations of a PSA, which is a blood test, mm-hmm. followed by a digital rectal examination, which is a finger examination, mm-hmm. at age 40 is annual screening. It's very, very important. There's also screening, we know, from pap smears in women. There are testicular mm-hmm. checks that younger men can do, colon cancer screening, which patients get a screening colonoscopy, chest x-rays, and it's just a host of things that patients have to do. Is we all have to do it, mm-hmm. in terms of screening for cancer, and it's very, very important to adhere to those recommendations and have a physician who guides you in that process.
And that's so important, because this is the fear factor. You know, we won't go for our physical every year. You know, we'll say, I know he said age 40, but you know, I'm feeling good at 42. And so we won't come in until we feel something we cannot ignore. You're guiding us to come in and keep regular appointments so that we are doing these screenings despite how we feel, right?
Despite how we feel, it's important.
Yes. It's critical. It's critical. Dr. McCarthy Keith, you too often, you know, emphasize, I've heard you talk in other arenas about the importance of coming in as soon as you detect or sense that there is an issue. Your thoughts on this?
Absolutely. So we always encourage women to maintain their routine GYN care. Getting routine annual exams, pap smears, breast exams are very important, mm-hmm. for that early diagnosis. So we always talk about and enforce that.
It's so important. If you've had an experience with sexual wellness, challenges sexually after cancer, or fertility, if you've been struggling with fertility, or perhaps you froze your eggs, did you freeze your sperm? What is your experience? We'd love to hear from you now on Your Health Connection. Call us at 404-880-9255. We see a lot on the internet. You know, the internet is the doctor. I know you doctors don't like this, but you know. Mm-mm. Yes, I know. And so help us, because the internet is not going away. And we as individuals see all these websites, Dr. Falconer. You know, it'll give us lists and bullets. And by the time we finish reading, we don't know how to sort any of this information out. Can you talk to us a minute about the guidance of online and medical advice? First of all, is there such a thing? I guess that isn't good, sound medical advice.
Well, I think for disease state, there's a lot of good information there. I mean, I think patients can access things. When I was growing up, we had a Merck manual, and mm-hmm. my mother used to refer to it, but that was only access to medical mm-hmm. information. So I think there is a good thing with the internet. The patients can go and find out information for themselves.
Yes.
Now, they need to incorporate that with some good medical direction, you know, so bring in their problems, you know, don't try to treat them per the internet, mm-hmm. but maybe bring those issues to a physician and get the proper recommendations for treatment for what they need.
Dr. McCarthy Keith, so many people will jump online, and next thing you know, they've decided that they can use, let's say, honey, lemon, some ginger, and they're going to be able to have the outcomes that they're hoping for. It's wishful thinking. We recognize that as patients. Guide us a little bit on when you'd rather us come in with our list of questions, as Dr. Falconer is saying, because we saw something on the internet and really need your specific guidance for us.
Well, we know that the internet can be very helpful, and there is a lot of information there, as Dr. Falconer mentioned. It's important when patients find that information to bring it to their physician. I welcome my patients to come in and talk about what they've researched or found online so that we can have an informed discussion about that and really dispel some of those myths and talk about what information they found that is valuable for their health.
And that's so important because a lot of times we can't sort out the information, but we, you know, watch the TV shows even, you know, shows like The Doctors and some of the ones that are, you know, ones that we see while in your waiting room, you know, because you've said in general by putting it on there that this is a trusted source. We wonder if we are irritating you as doctors when we come in with all that we have found on the internet. We're okay with this?
It is a challenge when we have patients with a very long list of all of the things that they found. Uh-huh. But again, it's more important that they've trusted us to bring that information in than to self-diagnose and to initiate these kind of treatments without our input. So we have to keep it in perspective, welcome and recognize that they're being advocates for themselves and not just being passive in their care and seeking information. And then we can partner with patients to really find out what's the best information that they found to help them stay healthy.
You know, Dr. Falconer, on Georgia Urology, your practice has a very robust website with good resources. Can you talk a little bit about why you all decided at Georgia Urology to put those resources out there? Is it because we're searching online and you wanted us to indeed find those as reliable sources?
Yeah, I think that it's important to incorporate, step up with technology. And so part of it was that. But having access to some of the links that are appropriate linkage that I think are a good recommendation for the patients who use our website.
Oh, absolutely. Dr. McCarthy, Keith, I know you have the same. You have a wealth of resources, I noticed, for women because you're speaking to not only fertility, you have some information there about sexual wellness. Shady Grove Fertility Atlanta. Tell me about what you have parked on your website for us as consumers and potential patients.
We have lots of information. It's on shadygrovefertility.com, and men and women can get information addressing their general infertility questions, basic fertility testing, like testing for egg reserve, how we assess a man's fertility, also descriptions of basic fertility treatments, and just what to expect when you come in to see a fertility specialist are all on our website.
Fantastic. And Georgia Urology, Dr. Falconer, your website can be found where? The address?
GeorgiaUrology.com. GeorgiaUrology.com.
Perfect. And that's where you can go for some good, reliable information online when you are searching and want to know information. We're talking about sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. And we have a question from Twitter for you, doctors. Does chemotherapy or radiation treatment affect fertility long term? The question is it a long-term impact or is it just something immediately after and the body, say, goes back to whatever your original state was with fertility? Would either one of you like that question to take it?
For women, it can definitely have a long-term effect, again, because we're born with all the eggs in our ovaries from the start. And so especially chemotherapy, which can target all the cells throughout the body, can bind to those cells in the ovary and can affect how the ovary is functioning. And so we can see those long-term effects years after the cancer treatment is completed, and sometimes the ovarian function does not come back. If women have had targeted treatment, say radiation to an area that's outside of their pelvis, then that may not necessarily affect their uterine or ovarian function. So it really depends on the type of cancer and the treatment and if it was a systemic treatment or if it was more targeted and potentially sparing of their reproductive organs.
Good point. For men, Dr. Falconer, the question from Twitter that we have here on Your Health Connection, does chemotherapy or radiation treatment affect fertility long term?
Yeah, it depends on the type of cancer you're treating. Unlike the ovaries, we produce new sperm about every 90 days. So there is ability if the testicular tissue isn't completely destroyed by the treatment or radiated directly over that area or the chemotherapy hasn't completely wiped out those cells that produce the sperm, there is a potential for the patients to have secondary recovery after treatment.
So that's something to consider. We're taking your questions. Want to hear your experiences about sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. We want to hear from you now at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255 or on Twitter. We just had our question that was tweeted to us. We are at CCRTD. It's incredible because when we get the diagnosis, we want to do the responsible right thing and we choose our cancer treatment. And then we might think later, hey, wait a minute. Did the cancer treatment itself increase, or did, you know, something I did in response to my fertility, if I was struggling with infertility, did I perhaps cause my cancer? Is that a valid question, or should patients not go down that line of thinking? If you need treatment, I mean, if you had infertility treatments prior to your diagnosis, you did not necessarily cause your cancer, or are there increased risks?
We've worked with patients going through fertility treatment for over 30 years, and we don't see the clear associations where if you go through fertility treatment that you're going to be at higher risk for developing a cancer later. There definitely are some patients who will develop a cancer who have a history of fertility treatment, but we cannot say that there's a direct link between those when we see those outcomes.
And that's good to know, because a lot of times there's guilt. You know, you feel guilt and you think, was it something I did? Was it a habit that I had? Dr. Falconer, any relationship between, you know, perhaps infertility treatments and men being concerned when they come to you at your practice saying, you know what, I think this might have had a hand in me now developing cancer?
Typically not. A little difference in infertility treatment in men mm-hmm. and women. Typically there's some surgical approaches. There are some, if we get into the in vitro fertilization, is just kind of accessing the sperm
yes.
from the male. The male gets a little bit of pass on that treatment mm-hmm. in terms of any long-term ramifications, unfortunately, that the women have to go to.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. We want to hear from you with your questions and your experiences at 404-880-9255. Cancer is a tough diagnosis, and we're so happy when we have survivors that talk about the use of technology that you are using, doctors, in treating us whenever we have any kind of diagnosis. Technology has impacted every industry, and this includes medicine and what we're doing and how we're responding to cancer. How has technology really helped us in terms of preserving sperm and preserving eggs and being able to protect our fertility and have children later in life? Can you talk a bit about the technology impact?
We've definitely seen the field of infertility care and reproductive medicine evolve in the last 15 to 20 years, where we've gotten much better in the ways that we can prepare and freeze sperm and eggs. The freezing techniques have improved so that the cells tolerate that procedure better and they're healthier mm-hmm. through the process, and we're able to work with them later on. So we've also had newer diagnostic testing. There's a hormone produced by the ovaries called AMH, or anti-Müllerian hormone, that we now order pretty routinely that can give us a quick idea about a woman's ovarian function and her egg reserve. So that's a test we've been using for several years, and that gives us a good idea.
That's wonderful. Dr. Falconer, you talked about the impact of technology thus far in allowing you to do. Have you found in your practice over the years that you've been at work at this, technology being a positive impact, being more helpful to you in helping us patients?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's in medicine's era, technology is just booming. Mm-hmm. It's some of the things that we're doing now are just really the new frontier.
Yes.
And the treatments and things we have available, the diagnostic techniques, things that my grandparents and parents never had any access to, and where the future is going. We're using technology and integrating that with our, you know, some of the formal, you know, physical diagnosis mm-hmm. and history taken, makes our job much easier.
That's a wonderful thing, and it makes the healing time better for us as patients, does it not? Do you find that the technology allows you to do different types of treatment that allows us to heal quicker?
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing, believe me, because part of that care and the fear of care is how long we will be out of work, for instance, or how sick will we be in responding and trying to heal and get better. What is your experience? Sexual wellness, fertility after cancer. We're here for you. We have Dr. Desiree McCarthy-Keith and Dr. Walter Falconer here to answer your questions and hear about your experience at 404-880-9255. What's very interesting is that, you know, we have seen many a fundraiser, and many of us have participated in fundraisers for children affected with cancer. And this is something that, you know, is something in this 21st century we must think about, because we're seeing the increased numbers. And so when we talk about fertility, I mean, we're talking children, so we're hoping for a good long future. Is it different when you're treating a child and trying to preserve possible fertility? I mean, what do you do when you're talking to someone who's in their early 20s or perhaps even a teenager?
that can be a challenge for young ladies who have a cancer diagnosis, mainly because if they haven't gone through puberty and their reproductive function is not really at the point where we can collect healthy eggs and store them for later. Some of those women, you can collect the ovarian tissue and freeze that tissue and then evaluate that at a later time to see if we can collect healthy eggs from there. Once a woman goes through puberty, even if she's a young woman in her late teens or early 20s, then we may be able to go through the same type of in vitro treatments and actually collect eggs that we can store for later.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's very hopeful. Dr. Falconer, I know it's probably rare, but again, we're noticing the increase in numbers of, you know, younger and younger cancer patients. So when in treating teens or college students, what's the route you take with that?
Well, there's one particular cancer that is much more prevalent in teenagers and young men, people on the age of 30. It's testicular cancer. It's really a disease of younger men. It's a germ cell cancer.
Oh.
And, of course, one of the treatments is the removal of the affected testicle and some chemotherapy or surgical or radiation treatments. And so it is something that identifying it early, the patient fortunately has another testicle that hasn't been involved, he still maintains the same fertility potential moving forward. But it is something that we encourage young men to do testicular self-examinations. If you feel anything that feels uncomfortable or hardness in the testicle, I encourage patients, spouses or partners, as you know, to in that examination, if you notice something different. You know, I think there are a lot of women who've been diagnosed with a breast lump that was found by just a partner in lovemaking.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It is something to share that information. If something doesn't feel right, just let someone know.
What is your experience? Sexual wellness and fertility after cancer, 404-880-9255. We go to Ali in Stone Mountain. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, Ali. Go ahead with your question or your comment for us.
Yeah, I wanted to ask the doctor, you know, being in out of remission now, does the radiation and chemo affect the testosterone level in a male?
Okay, what was it with the treatment for? Just in general radiation or chemo?
No, for the throat. It was in the throat, for the throat cancer.
Throat cancer? Okay.
Yeah, typically, that's a very good question because obviously we're here talking about fertility and the potential of sperm production, but testosterone, even though it's produced by the testicle, is actually produced by a different cell within the testicular tissue. And we tend not to see those kind of trends of hormonal changes with the radiation and chemo that we see with the potential of spermatogenesis or the production of sperm. And so it is something that probably not, I mean, there's some natural trends as we get older as men that our testosterone levels will decline. It's hard to say. It's one of the questions Paula said, was it the treatment? But fortunately, regardless of the cause, the treatment of it is to replace testosterone. So that's viable if you were treated for a throat cancer or not. So you still have the potential of being treated for that if they identify that the testosterone levels are low.
Thank you, Ali, for your question. Thank you. Such a good question. We want your question. Sexual wellness, infertility, fertility issues after cancer. We are here for you at 404-880-9255. You're listening to Your Health Connection. And that's such a great question that Ali asked from Stone Mountain, because the effect of hormones, you know, I mean, we know our treatment is going to throw us off. We are not our usual selves. Our bodies are not functioning. We are working through fighting off disease. Dr. McCarthy Keith, for women, I mean, Dr. Falconer really took us through what the men deal with testosterone. But what about us women with our hormones?
Definitely, again, depending on the type of treatment, if it's something that really affects the ovarian function, then we can see not just egg production that's decreased, but women can go into early menopause if their ovaries are really not functional after that. And along with that early menopause comes the lack of estrogen production by the ovaries, and the lack of estrogen can lead to hot flashes, vaginal dryness, painful intercourse, higher risk of developing osteoporosis. So we have to think about, so for some of those women, when the hormone levels are decreased after treatment, that we want to address that and help with those effects.
Yes, and there is help for that. So we want to make sure to bring these things up to your doctor when you go in. We want to hear your experience, take your questions regarding sexual wellness and fertility after cancer. Call us now, 404-880-9255. You're listening to Your Health Connection. Did you know that some risk factors for prostate cancer include age, race and ethnicity, family history, diet, and lack of exercise? These risk factors are not only unique to prostate cancer, but are also relevant to other health disparities that impact a person's overall health and wellness. Let's make health and wellness a family affair by developing benchmarks for routine health screenings on birthdays and anniversaries. Men over the age of 40 should get screened for prostate cancer annually, including both the digital rectal exam and PSA blood test. Get screened for prostate cancer today and make health and wellness a family affair. This announcement, in the public interest, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.